This is Jay Sekulow, major case on the issue of life at the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Government force you to advocate for things that you don't believe in? That's the question the Supreme Court justices are facing today as attorneys defend First Amendment rights of pro-life clinics in California, where the law compels them to promote abortion.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
National Institute of Family and Life Advocates v. Becerra is a case before the Supreme Court that centers on the right of free speech of pro-life licensed medical centers. Under California state law, these centers are forced to violate their conscience objections and post written advertisements for free or low-cost abortions subsidized by the state.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, the Supreme Court just moments ago heard oral arguments in a case called National Institute for Family and Life Advocates versus Becerra. That is, Becerra is the Attorney General for California. National Institute of Family and Life Advocates is a pro-life crisis pregnancy center, and the case was argued, as I said, just the arguments just finished up a little while ago. Our friend Mike Ferris from the Alliance Defending Freedom argued the case. It's important to us, both on the substance, is that we defend pro-life pregnancy centers around the country, but also because of this, Living Well Medical Center versus Becerra. This is a case that is the identical issue of this compelled speech, the crisis pregnancy centers having to refer out for abortions and post these signs under what they call the FAIR Act. So we have a case pending this. So whatever happens in this particular case, in the case National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, impacts our case directly. Walter Weber is a senior counsel with the ACLJ, does a lot of our Supreme Court practice. He just left the Supreme Court moments ago. Walter, we talked before we went on the air. You're encouraged.
Yes, I'm very encouraged, Jay. The questioning indicated that the justices understood very well what was happening here and that this was an attempt to basically burden the speech of pro-life pregnancy centers in California.
Well, the FAIR Act, Jordan, is something we've been concerned about for a long time, because the FACT Act, as it's called, because it mandates compelled speech.
That's right. What we are concerned about here, we've talked about it a lot on this broadcast, is these state laws that have tried to force pro-life pregnancy centers. Some people know them as crisis pregnancy centers. They operate in every state across the country. So in some blue states where there are pro-abortion organizations donate a lot of money to a specific campaigns, especially to those like attorney generals and governors. And so in a state like California, where the state leadership is blue, they have enacted through their state legislature these laws to force pro-life pregnancy centers. Basically, I mean, the easiest way to say this is to advertise for abortion services or be shut down. So literally say, hey, we don't provide abortions. Here's where you can go get one. Literally tell people where to go.
Yeah, the penalty is $1,000 per subsequent violation, $500 the first time. Walter, we got about a minute and 20 seconds here. Give us your sense of what's at stake here for the pro-life movement.
Sure. Well, one of the main themes that came out in the argument, Jay, the word we kept hearing again and again were gerrymandered and targeted. And I think what was at stake here was, is it possible for a state under the Constitution to target a pro-life center that it doesn't like and impose on it burdensome regulations that it doesn't impose on other people? And just pretty much everybody on the court was concerned about that. Across the political spectrum, they were all saying, this looks suspicious, this looks like a gerrymander, this looks like targeted. The state's attorney even admitted that they were targeting pro-life centers. So I think this is potentially a very important point. If the Supreme Court says you can't do that, that's really helpful, because then that knocks out a lot of what groups like NARAL and Planned Parenthood do, which is try and target not everybody, but just the pro-life centers.
All right, Walter, we appreciate your comments on this. Let me just let everybody know the FACT Act compels even licensed facilities to provide pregnancy services to say there are public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to abortion. So it's requiring the pro-life center to refer for abortions. We think that violates the Constitution. We want to know your reaction to all of this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, we'll start taking calls and comments on Facebook and Periscope as well.
Phone lines have just opened up. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard right now. You can also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. That's Facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can tweet us at JaySekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, and again on Facebook and ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
If you're just joining us, we've got some breaking news here for you. The Supreme Court of the United States just heard oral arguments in a case called National Institute for Family and Life Advocates versus Becerra. It is a case involving pro-life pregnancy centers that serve the needs of women in crisis pregnancy situations, and we've litigated these cases all over the country. We actually have a case that is pending this case right now. Our friend Mike Ferris has been a friend of mine, a lawyer, great lawyer, been a friend of mine for oh, goodness, probably 30 years, argued the case today representing the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, and the ACLJ has a companion case called Living Well Medical Clinic versus Becerra, same defendant. And that case is being held. So whatever happens in the case involving National Institute for Family and Life Advocates will directly impact our case. Walter Weber is a senior counsel at the ACLJ. And Walter, let me again ask you right now, there were the licensed pregnancy centers and the unlicensed, but it was this compelled speech issue that was such a big deal.
Right. Both kinds of centers are compelled to speak. The licensed centers were required to advertise the availability of abortion at free or low cost, which is obviously totally incompatible with their pro-life views. The unlicensed clinics were required to include a disclaimer basically saying that they don't provide medical services, which sounds fairly non-controversial, but they were required to put it in the same size font as the ad. So Justice Kennedy asked, well, what if the ad just says choose life? And one of the other justices says, what if it just said pro-life? Well, then you've got that plus 45 words of the same size font. You basically are crowding out the pro-life center's ad. And even Justice Ginsburg and Sotomayor, who you think would be most sympathetic to the other side,
yep,
said that's burdensome. And they all saw that as being a major burden. One example was brought up by one of the advocates, I think it was Mike Farris, said, what if you had an ad for a car company, and you got Chevrolet, and then you've got 45 words of disclaimer in the same size font? They just don't do things that way.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and take – we got calls coming in. So, again, 1-800-684-3110 is the number. Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call or a comment, whatever you like.
Let's go to Gina in San Diego, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Gina, go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to know if pro-choice organizations are required to give information – about alternatives to abortion.
So in other words, does Planned Parenthood have to put up a sign that says, in essence, if you want to have an alternative to abortion, go see these free services available, these crisis pregnancy centers? The answer, of course, to that is no, and that shows the nature of what this is. As Walter mentioned and Jordan discussed, it is targeted speech at a particular viewpoint. That's what this is. It's viewpoint discrimination at the top of it.
Yeah, and we know. I mean, Planned Parenthood's not supposed to be forcing anyone, and their facility's not supposed to be forcing anyone who comes there to have an abortion. But we have heard time and time again firsthand accounts from women who have called into this broadcast and said, You walk in there, if you're pregnant, with the idea of what to do with this pregnancy, the first idea is abortion, and it's very difficult to get out the door without having that procedure performed because the pressure put on you. Again, those come in from firsthand account from women who call into this radio broadcast, but they certainly don't have to be putting up advertising. So again, it goes to that abortion distortion that we talk about.
Yep.
Abortion industry thinks that they should be treated differently than everyone else. And then so you can tell the pro-lifers, hey, you've got to advertise for us and we don't have to do anything for you.
Yeah. Walter, let me play for you a comment from the president of NARAL. This was a comment she made in 2015, in October of 2015. Take a listen.
This is not about freedom of speech. It's not about freedom to worship, however anyone chooses to worship. What it is about setting a baseline threshold of what people that are licensed or what licensed health facilities are required to offer to their candidates.
So, Walter, she starts with the proposition, this is not about freedom of speech, which is precisely what this is about.
Right. Well, that just means they're not taking free speech into account. I, when you were reading that quotation, I'm reminded of one of the questions that Justice Kagan asked, which was, and I quote, what was the state thinking? And her point was, you claim to have these concerns about informed consent and about making sure services are available, but then you look at the exceptions and you look at the exemptions and everybody seems to be carved out except the pro-life centers. How can that be anything other than essentially a targeted attempt to try and put a heavy hand on the pro-life centers?
Well, I think this is exactly what it is. And what you have to understand is that they are targeting with a compelled message, which is a message contrary to the pro-life message. In other words, here's where you get your abortions. And by the way, they're low cost or free. And then they turn it around. And I think the caller's question was great. Well, that was, do they tell the Planned Parenthood clinics to put up a sign that says where you can get an alternative to abortion? And of course, the answer to that is no. So it's the government picking one side of a debate and then compelling you to violate your conscience by speaking a particular message you disagree with. And it sounds like, based on what Walter just said, that we could be looking at a unanimous decision. But listen, I'll take 5-4 right now today, but unanimous is always great. And I will say this also about my friend Walter Weber, who I've worked with for almost 30 years. He is not one that will say often that he thinks something's going to be unanimous. So, Walter, I made the joke. If you can only get 9 votes, but the way you're sounding, maybe we could get 18, except there's only 9 justices. But you feel good about it.
Sounds great.
Yeah,
I feel
good about it. Logan, what are we hearing online? We'll take calls at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, a lot of people are enthused, I think, from this. This is a question that Julie said. Do abortion clinics, we've brought this up, do they have to bring up adoption even as an option? And we talked about that you don't have to say,
nothing.
Go to this. Do you have to do anything?
They have to. Walter, there is no law governing what takes. I mean, listen, anytime you try to get regulations on these medical clinics, including informed consent, including disclosure of the procedures, they don't want to do. There was even a report in the paper today, or it was a tweet I think I saw this morning, that one of the doctors that performs these abortions says that they don't. There was this discussion of if the baby makes noise, does that impact the woman when the abortion taking place? And this particular doctor, at least this is what the report was on Twitter, was that the doctor tweeted out saying, I sever the vocal cord, so that wouldn't be an issue. So you understand what they're doing here. I mean, understand what's going on here. But, Walter, it doesn't work both ways. I mean, we need to be clear about this. It was targeted directly at the crisis pregnancy centers.
Yes. Well, the California law certainly was. The justices were also, one of the main themes of the argument was, does this apply in both directions? Can the same restrictions be applied to abortion providers as applied to pro-life centers? And if not, why not? And there are two really good answers to that. One is, when you're counseling a woman about pregnancy, that's not a medical procedure. You're giving her advice. When you're doing an abortion, that's a medical procedure. Informed consent rules normally should apply. All the things that go into the consideration of that decision should apply. The other thing is, abortion is different. Supreme Court has said this over and over again. It's not like, well, leave out all the moral considerations. Childbirth and abortion are just two ways of terminating a pregnancy, right? That's what Justice Brennan said in dissent. That's not been the Supreme Court majority's position. Abortion is the only thing that takes a human life, and therefore it can be treated differently by the state.
All right. We're going to take more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we've got time for another call.
Yep, let's go to Dave in California on line one. Dave, welcome.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, I think the comparison draws also, suppose you were in a car company like Chevrolet, and you were forced to say, well, you also can get your needs met by Ford and Jaguar and Infiniti and Acura and Kia and so forth, and give and you're forced to give all their addresses as well.
No, you're precisely correct. I mean, that's what this is. This is the compelled speech doctrine, and in fact, the commercial speech aspect of it came up. Can you imagine telling this car company, no, you have these alternatives as well?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it doesn't make sense across any other segment of any kind of, whether it's nonprofit or business. I mean, as a nonprofit, do we have to advertise for other nonprofits? Do you have to then say, hey, we do this, and so do these people and these people? You could see that this is just an endless cycle, whether or not you're talking about just in one state or how the abortion groups would like this to happen, which is nationally. And it goes back to the idea that the abortion industry, on so many fronts, believes that they should be treated differently than everyone else in every other sector, so they don't get the same kind of regulations. They don't have to have ambulatory care met at their facilities, even though they perform invasive procedures that can cause the death to the pregnant woman. And so, again, we see it time and time again, treat us differently from everyone else, not just from one specific group, but everyone else. I think the caller made a great point, is that the idea to force these groups into advertising for abortion, in a sense, I mean, they would have to then make these judgment calls of whether or not they would even operate anymore. I mean,
Walter, the fines here are significant. I mean, this is $1,000 per violation after the first violation.
It's not designed to be friendly to pro-life centers. And really what this was a gift to NARAL. NARAL has been targeting pro-life centers for a while, and they came to California and found a willing audience. And I think Justice Kagan, although she didn't mention them by name, was on to that. She said, well, there's a couple of ways we can look at this. One is, this is an across-the-board attempt to address informing women, or it's an attempt to target pro-life centers because we think they're bad for some reason.
Yep.
And I think it's that second one. NARAL says pro-life centers are bad. You got to target them. That's what the state has done, and now they're getting called on it.
Well, look, Walter, appreciate your comments on this. Appreciate your insight. Walter Weber is one of our most senior lawyers and really heads up our Supreme Court practice group and does a great job. And Walter's optimistic. So if Walter likes it, I like it. That means it should be a good day when we get that decision, probably the end of June. Thank you, Walter, for being with us. All right, take more calls and comments when we come back.
That's right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to get your question in. You can also get comments in online. It's facebook.com/JSecHill. Also on Twitter @JSecHill.
Don't forget also our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. I'm holding a brief to the Supreme Court of the United States, a petition for certiorari. Your support of our work enables us to go to the Supreme Court and courts around the country. So ACLJ.org, any match you donate, we get a matching gift for. We encourage you to do that. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. I'd like to hear from people that have had women that have had experience with Planned Parenthood or other facilities like that and get your comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. The case at the U.S. Supreme Court, the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates versus the Attorney General of the State of California. We filed our amicus brief. We represent three organizations in California, pro-life pregnancy centers, that would be directly impacted by how this case turns out at the Supreme Court. We represent Living Well Medical Clinic, Pregnancy Care Center of the North Coast, and Confidence Pregnancy Centers, and at the American Center for Law and Justice. And so we just had Walter Weber on, who was at the Supreme Court, to provide us an update, firsthand update, on how the oral arguments went. He feels very good that these laws and regulations that force pro-life pregnancy centers, or sometimes known as crisis pregnancy centers, to advertise for abortion, literally, folks, in the same size font as any kind of advertisement they take out. So if you said, like Walter mentioned, 1-800-PRO-LIFE, and under that, if you did not provide abortion services at 1-800-PRO-LIFE, you'd have to say, we don't provide abortion services. The state does. I mean, this whole long thing that the state does. And here's how it actually reads. All licensed facilities that provide pregnancy services must inform their clients that the state of California, quote, has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to abortion. By the way, the Supreme Court taking this up means that this will impact other states where lots of politicians who lead the state get money from the pro-abortion industry, who have tried to do similar, pass similar laws. So all of these states will take a second look, because they know that controlling Supreme Court precedent, we hope, will make it clear that you cannot do this to pro-life pregnancy centers. It'd be a big victory for pro-life speech. And it may seem absurd, but folks, never forget the abortion distortion, and again, it is something that we deal with every day in federal court with legislation, abortion, whether it's state, federal, whether it's legislative or judicial, it is always treated differently than everything else, than any other kind of procedure, than any kind of other kind of medical regulation, than any kind of licensing required. They are always treated differently, and so you don't take these as just, well, this sounds absurd. All of the ways the laws work to the abortion industry are absurd. Here's a real opportunity to strike one down that will have national implications. Than Bennett is joining us from our Washington, D.C. office. And Than, you know, too, working on this from the legislative side, we've been seeing this move happen because there is a pro-life president, a pro-life House, and a pro-life Senate on paper. The pro-abortion industry has focused its attention into state politics to get these kind of regulations and laws passed.
No doubt about it. They haven't had any haven on the federal level in the last recent months, Jordan. But look, I would say this, the hypocrisy abounds. And I heard the conversation that you and Jay had with Walter just a minute ago. And I want people to really think about this. When these state-based efforts proceed, there is such a hypocrisy that exists, because when you're talking about forced advertising on a pro-life center, the pro-abortion industry comes out in full force for it. But when you're talking about a dangerous medical procedure and the state says, we want to provide the woman that's going to undergo that procedure with access to information about what's going to take place. In fact, we want to give her a free ultrasound to see exactly what looks like. Jordan, the same exact people that you're talking about come out and viscerally oppose that regulation. So the hypocrisy here is unbelievable.
No, I mean, you bring up a really important point, then, is whenever you see legislation put forward by the states that have ultrasound capability, you will see immediately NARAL and Planned Parenthood filing lawsuits saying they shouldn't be able to do that. Why is it that they don't want you to do that? Well, because then you're actually going to see the unborn child. But they will use any law they can to move their agenda forward. And I think we just have to be clear that's what it is. All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, Kim's calling in Dallas, Texas. You're on the air on line 3.
Hey, Kim.
Hi. Hey. I just wanted to share my story with Planned Parenthood. In 1983, I was married, pregnant with my second child, but we didn't have any insurance, and we were living in a new area, so I didn't know what to do, where to go, what doctor to find. So I saw Planned Parenthood. I thought, oh, you know, I didn't know it was an abortion clinic. And I went in, and I had my little boy with me, the one I already had, and told him I believed I was pregnant, and could they, you know, help me find a doctor, blah, blah, blah. And they said, no, we only do abortions. You shouldn't have this baby. If you don't have insurance, that means you can't take care of it. You're going to, you know, make your other little boy do without to have this baby. And I looked at him and I said, I don't believe in abortion. I will never do that. And I came in here to get help finding a doctor. And they go, well, we can't help you.
Well, it's because they're in the because the reality is, and you've experienced it, is they're in the business of abortion. I mean, that is their industry. They perform over 300,000 of them a year. This is their business. This is their business model, and they are in the business of abortion. Remember the whole controversy over the sale of fetal body parts, which was also a part of their industry. So I think this is, look, you just got to realize, you express. That's why I want to hear from people on this, especially women. We really want to hear from you. Those stories like Kim's make a big difference. That's what I call evidence of what's actually happening. So we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. But we've heard a lot of these stories over the years. But again, we do want to hear from you at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, and the pressure points, I mean, that we were just talking about, that we hear time and time again. Kim just brought up another one. It was interesting how that Planned Parenthood, going back to the 1980s, have got their staff as much as possible on message. So even when someone comes in with a child and is looking just for help with finding the right doctor and what services may be available for those women who want to have their child, it may not be insurance, they're in a new area, maybe a new job where the insurance hasn't kicked in yet, things like that, and they've moved, that Planned Parenthood, one, says, no, we can't help you, but two, still tries to press you into having the abortion procedure and shame you and say that right in front of your kid, you won't be able to afford your child that you already have if you don't terminate the one that that you believe you're pregnant with right now. So while the child is there with the mother, they are on message to get another abortion procedure done, and they don't hide the amount of abortions they do. That's why we call them part of the abortion industry. It's because it's the bread and butter of their business and of their business model.
Not only do they not hide from it, they brag about it. They're proud of it. They think that this is a service that they are providing. I would suggest they are in the business of two things, abortion and politics. But on the abortion business and the business model that you're talking about, Jordan, we don't have to use anything but their own numbers. You guys referenced the more than 320,000 abortions they perform. But let me bring to light for our listeners a couple of other numbers that they themselves report. They report that they refer out for less than 4,000 adoptions. Mind you, they don't do the adoptions themselves. They refer them out for adoption. And if you extrapolate their prenatal services down to how many prenatal clients they have, Jordan, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500. So you're talking about 5,000 children brought to term and brought to life in the same period where they are aborting more than 320,000. Jordan, if that is not a business model that funnels to abortion, then I don't know what is.
All right. Again, if you want to give us a call, it's 1-800-684-3110. We have a second half hour coming up on the broadcast. We will take more of your phone calls on this issue, and specifically those women out there who have had this experience, the pressure from Planned Parenthood, just by walking in looking for some information, and you're pressured that moment to have an abortion if you are pregnant. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about this because there is a case at the U.S. Supreme Court on pro-life speech. I think the way we said in our brief that NBC News pointed out and quoted directly from the brief that we filed was clear. No one should be compelled to, quote, act as a ventriloquist dummy for a government-dictated message. And that includes pro-life pregnancy centers.
All right. Also, don't forget the ACLJ is in a matching challenge campaign. And whether it's at the Supreme Court of the United States or around the globe, the ACLJ is fighting for you. We're taking your support seriously. And we're in a matching challenge campaign, which means any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, and it's doubled. So if you donate $10, ACLJ gets $20. We encourage you to do that. Again, ACLJ.org. And don't forget, we'll be here for another 30 minutes. You can get us on Facebook and Periscope or at ACLJ.org if you don't get the whole hour.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So if you're just joining us or joining us a little bit late here, today the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case called National Institute for Family and Life Advocates versus Becerra. We have a companion case to that called Living Well Medical Clinic versus Becerra. That it's same issue, and that is, can the crisis pregnancy centers be compelled to run advertisements promoting abortion or saying specifically where abortions can take place? Now, the argument today took place in what I call the companion case, and that is the National Institute for Family Life and Advocates. It was argued by our friend Mike Ferris, a great lawyer who is the general counsel of the Alliance Defending Freedom, a good friend of mine. I think Mike and I have been friends for more than 30 years. Great Supreme Court lawyer. He's argued a couple of cases before this, but Walter Weber was with us earlier and said the arguments went very well. So we're optimistic. This is a situation, Jordan, I think you need to walk through with everybody what this law that we're challenging was actually doing.
Yeah, so this law, it's called the FACT Law, and it's the 2015 California Reproductive Freedom, Accountability, Comprehensive Care, and Transparency Act that compels all licensed covered facilities that provide, quote, pregnancy services to inform their clients that the state of California, quote, has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to abortion, that this information must be placed in a conspicuous place, so right up front, handed out, or digitally disseminated to all clients of those facilities. The penalty for failing to comply with this law is a $500 fine for the first violation and $1,000 per subsequent violation. It also opens up the clinic to more liability from the state of California if there were multiple offenses. So pro-life pregnancy centers would have to comply with the law. It exempts, interesting enough, other medical and unlicensed non-medical facilities, such as abortion providers and hospitals and other healthcare facilities.
This really targets pro-life messaging and pro-life resources. That's what it does. All right, let's go ahead and take a call. We don't always do this, but our phone lines are jammed, so we'll try to take a call here in the first segment of the broadcast.
All right, let's go to Adeline calling on line two in Maryland.
Hi, Adeline, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment. Also, I used to live in California. We had moved from Maryland to California. I had two children, was pregnant with it. They told me that I was pregnant when I got there. And so they tried to tell me to set up for an abortion. And I told them I did not want an abortion because I already have two kids and I have my husband. I'm a married woman. And they told me, come back the next time. So they gave me an appointment and I got there only to find out that they had set up abortion. They have scheduled me for an abortion.
Well, look, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. This is Planned Parenthood's business. And, Than, the amount of money that Planned Parenthood still gets from the federal government, which is our taxpayer dollars, is still pretty breathtaking.
More than $500 million, Jay. That's with a B. More than $500 million from federal taxpayers. It supports their $1.5 trillion revenue stream. $1.5 billion revenue stream. Jay, look, we talked about this earlier in the year. They believe they have a constitutional right to those taxpayer dollars because when we were trying to defund them, that was essentially the argument that they made, that it was unconstitutional to pull taxpayer dollars away from them. Jay, there's no constitutional right for a pro-lifer to support this kind of practice. But you know what? It's the same mentality that makes them think a pro-lifer should have to advertise for their business as well.
Yep. Logan, we're getting our phone lines are jammed right now at 800-684-3110. We're also getting a lot of messages. What's kind of the sense on the social media platforms? What are people saying?
Yeah, a lot of people are just asking, like I said, some questions, or people are both on, they're on both sides of this issue, but I think overall, obviously positive on the pro-life issue, but people are just wanting more details. So a question came in, just came in actually from Carol, said that she felt like we brought maybe this problem on ourselves because we legalized abortion in the first place, and how do we then kind of get to that point?
Look, I mean, the fact is the Supreme Court legalized abortion in 1973, and that law is still the law of the land, but you got to win the hearts and minds of the people, and that's really the goal here, and that's what these crisis pregnancy centers do. They do a phenomenal job. Jordan and I go out and speak on behalf of crisis pregnancy centers often, and they do a fantastic, they are the front lines in the defense for life, and you should support your local crisis pregnancy center. They do great work, and I'm optimistic that this law in California is going to be struck as unconstitutional. So the fact that you got a bad Supreme Court decision that put this all in place doesn't mean you do nothing. You know, it's what the scripture says, when the foundations crumble, what do the righteous do? Report for duty. So this is what these crisis pregnancy centers and the women and men behind them are doing, and they do a great job. We'll come back. We'll take more calls at 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls about a very important case at the United States Supreme Court. It affects three of our clients. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, I'm holding the brief that we filed on behalf of those clients in my hands right now. These are all pro-life pregnancy centers in California, but I will tell you, in states like Illinois, we've seen this throughout the country, New York as well, where you've had either state or municipalities try to pass laws and regulations that require only pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise for abortion. And you hear me right there. It sounds like something that should be absurd, but yet you have to fight it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Why is that? It's the abortion industry you're fighting. And they get treated differently than any other business, than any other kind of nonprofit, than any kind of service provider or medical provider or provider of services than anyone else. And we call it abortion distortion. And they think that they get, because of that, they can then have these burdens of speech on everyone they don't like and not have to take on burdens themselves at all. So they fight every kind of regulation, not things to shut them down. We're talking about regulations just to get them up to like health codes. No, that violates the Constitution to do that with them. So we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We ask people to call in, Logan, with their experiences with organizations and these abortion providers like Planned Parenthood, and we've got calls come in. Let's get right to them.
Yep, let's go to D, who's calling in North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hi. Back when I was a teenager, I got pregnant, and at that time, I went to Planned Parenthood seeking information. They sent me to like a they called her a crisis pregnancy counselor, so that would make you think that, you know, you're pregnant, you don't have any income. They're going to help you. They're going to give you resources. All she talked about was abortion from right out of the gate. And one thing that really sticks in my mind, and I'm a registered nurse now, so I have a really intimate knowledge of physiology and pregnancy. She told me, oh, well, you're so early in the pregnancy. It's not even a baby. It's nothing but a lump of tissue. It's more like a tumor.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the key, Harry, that we know, and Harry from our senior policy team, but also an attorney, a law professor, and so we're talking to Harry Hutchinson. I mean, Harry, we hear this story after story. I mean, they try to put themselves out, Planned Parenthood, is that abortion is not the number one service they provide, that they do all these other things, and yet right out the gate, immediately, that's the first question everyone gets asked, and even if you're not there for that, if you are pregnant, That's what they're pushing on you.
Absolutely. And so we live in an environment where the abortion rights industry has essentially captured politicians. And they, the politicians, in response to being captured, are trying to expand the profitability of the abortion rights industry. California is a perfect example. With the passage of the Reproductive Freedom, Accountability, Comprehensive Care, and Transparency Act, California politicians have demanded that pro-life centers subsidize, in essence, the message of the abortion rights industry. And this constitutes a violation of the First Amendment.
Yeah, but it's also interesting, Harry, that it's a one-sided argument because they only go after the pro-life side. We call it viewpoint discrimination, the idea that the government comes in and says, well, we like this speech, so we're going to allow this, but we don't like this speech, so we're not going to allow that. That's exactly what this is.
Absolutely, and it's totally unbalanced. And in addition, the state of California is attempting to crowd out pro-life speech because they have a preference for the abortion rights industry.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take another call?
Sure, you go. Laura in Colorado on line 6. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, in 2002, I found myself pregnant at 36 years old. I had a 17-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old daughter. Their father had left us. And I actually worked in the medical industry, and I scheduled to have an abortion. I went to Planned Parenthood in Fort Collins, and I had to have an ultrasound before the actual procedure, and the young girl that was performing that ultrasound was all of about 23, maybe 24 years old, and she was measuring things and doing things, but I couldn't see the screen, and I said to her, I would like to see what you see, because what I want to know is it true that it's just a mass of cells? I was 10 weeks along.
Yep.
And I said, I want to know, is it a baby or a mass of cells? And she said, I'm not allowed to discuss it with you. You'll have to talk to the doctor performing the procedure. And I was pretty relentless and told her I had a right to know. I was paying for this. And yep. I just pressured her until she finally looked at me. And I said, look, just answer the question. Is it a baby or is it a mass of cells? And she finally turned the screen and she said to me, it's a baby. It was a baby.
Because you can't argue it. I mean, especially now with the technologies. I appreciate, Laura, you calling in. But listen to the Attorney General from California, Xavier Becerra. This is what he says about it.
We're simply trying to make sure the recipient of health care information or advice understands exactly what he or she is entitled to in terms of services and that the information is accurate.
I guess then you have the Planned Parenthood putting up signs about alternatives to abortions and here's where you can get them. But apparently that's not the case. So with all the high piety to what they're trying to do with information, ask the state of California how they feel about a law that says, before an abortion, we should have an ultrasound performed so that the woman carrying the child could actually see what she's carrying.
And the Planned Parenthood has to perform it at their facility and tell people what they see in the ultrasound and how far along in the development they may be. I mean, that's the thing. They would fight that out over years.
Yes, they do.
And again, just trying to make these facilities meet basic ambulatory care, not hospital, ambulatory care. They fought that out from Texas, remember? So they don't want to even be regulated like healthcare providers. So that attorney general in California acts like these abortion providers are heavily regulated medical facilities when in fact they do not meet the same standards as ambulatory care. That's emergency care.
Right.
They don't meet that standard under the laws of most states because they fought in court and won to say that they don't need to meet that standard. So they hold everyone. They think that they should be treated different from everyone else. And that the truth is their funding and regulation of abortion is not what is constitutionally protected. But they have got this idea through the mainstream world that you can't do anything to them and they can do whatever they want.
So, and then you go back to the funding issue. I know it's a huge frustration for our members of the ACLJ and the folks listening to this radio broadcast or watching us on TV or watching on Facebook or Periscope. This is very frustrating for folks. this funding
issue? Because it only grows year after year, Jay. And in fact, there was a new government accountability report that came out just a few weeks ago that showed even new revenue streams that we had previously not known about, because they have their tentacles in so many different programs. I mean, the big ones are Medicaid reimbursements and Title $10. But Jay, we know this. I mean, there were subsidies in the Obamacare law as it was set up. Every single law that moves through the political apparatus of the abortion industry here in Washington, D.C. is out in force trying to get a piece of that. And I'll just tell you, today's good evidence of that day. If you walk outside of our office right now, you will literally run into the political apparatus of Planned Parenthood and NARAL. They are canvassing the streets for this case. And when legislation moves on Capitol Hill, they're here for that as well.
No question about it. All right, Logan, let's try to grab another call before the break here.
Let's go to Nicole on line three.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I just wanted to call and kind of comment on what Sam had said earlier about the adoption themes. I was 15 when I went in to have an abortion or even just counseling. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was pregnant and had no idea about Planned Parenthood or what they stood for. I was given only options for an adoption or before an abortion. And then the test was done and they found out that I was 6 months pregnant. And so at that time in 1994, we weren't allowed to have an abortion at 6 months pregnant.
Right.
And thank God that I didn't, because, you know, today I successfully have a 24-year-old police officer as a son with a 4-year-old granddaughter. But the adoption option was only given after I was 6 months pregnant, because I was told I couldn't care for this child. I had no means. I wasn't even an adult. And so since the abortion wasn't the option, adoption would be the only other option for me. And so, you know, God's been good to us, and he's provided for us and helped us along, even when we didn't know that we needed that help. But, you know, Planned Parenthood is more wicked and evil than I think people know.
Well, look, first of all, I'm glad you chose the issue of keeping the child. But adoption is a viable alternative for some women in a crisis pregnancy center. And I'm pleased, I can't even believe I'm saying it, that Planned Parenthood actually made that offer. Sounds like it was a long time ago. The fact of the matter is they would not, I suspect that's not in their list of referrals today. And of course, they're not having a law that says they have to have up where you can have adoption referral or where you can have a crisis pregnancy center. They want very quickly, it's a one-way form of censorship.
Absolutely. It's basically aimed at expanding abortions and expanding the profitability of the abortion rights industry.
All right. We're going to be back with more, including your calls for the last segment at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Today was a big day at the Supreme Court of the United States as they heard oral arguments in a case involving crisis pregnancy centers, and we've been behind those. Our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, Mike Ferris, actually argued. Mike's a good friend of mine. We have a case attached to it. It's called Living Well Medical Clinic versus Becerra. It is being held pending the disposition of this case. So if Mike was successful today in the main case, which is the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates case, if he's successful there, what the court will do is grant our cert petition, vacate the so they grant, vacate, and remand. They'll grant the cert petition, vacate the lower court decision, so get rid of the Ninth Circuit decision, and remand it back to the district court to issue an order in compliance with the Supreme Court of the United States called a GVR, but it's an actual cert grant, and then the case moves forward. So we've got a lot riding on it, and the pro-life movement sounds like it had a good today when we had Walter Weber on earlier in the broadcast. All right, we're going to last segment of the program here, so let's go to as many calls as we can.
All right, let's start off with Linda in Tyler, Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Linda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. I just want to thank y'all for everything you do.
Sure.
I ran into a deal with Planned Parenthood and my daughter. She was 16 when she got pregnant, and a coworker, I think, of mine was telling me about Planned Parenthood, how they give you prenatal counseling, and if you want to go, get a doctor, they'll help you with that. So I sent her to Planned Parenthood one day when I was going to work, and I got home and she was in tears saying that they told her she had to have an abortion. She didn't have a choice because she was 16, and I'm like, wait a minute, that didn't make any sense. So I went up there with her the next day, and we talked to, I asked for the person who told her that, and she said, well, that's what our protocol is when, when you're underage, you don't have any insurance, you don't have a job, you just don't need to have a baby. And so we advocate for, for abortion, and I'm like, I was told that y'all give prenatal counseling, and they said, oh, no, ma'am, we advocate for abortion. And
they
I'm like,
are, well,
you know
hey, look, I mean, Linda, I appreciate you calling in and sharing the story because the truth is, I mean, this is the evidence. I like putting out evidence then. And the fact is, no matter what you want to say, is that this is their business. I mean, they're in the business of abortion.
It's heartbreaking, Jay, but about 330,000 pregnant mothers come into Planned Parenthood every year. Jay, only about 1,500 of them are actually provided with prenatal services. I'll tell you what that is. That's an accident in their business model. It is something they don't drive towards. It's just an accident. Some of the people, and you hate to put it this way, but if they fall through the business model cracks, their business model is to funnel every single pregnant mother that comes through their doors into an abortion.
And when you're in over $1 billion a year industry alone, just Planned Parenthood, not other abortion clinics that are part of this industry, but just Planned Parenthood, and you've got nonprofits whose only job is to advocate for you, like groups like NARAL, Pro-Choice America. So those organizations, all they do is support pro-abortion policies and regulations and fight pro-life groups, not even just fighting restrictions and regulations on abortion, but actually taking the fight to pro-life organizations. You have to treat them as if you would a big business operating in Washington, D.C. They dole out millions in campaign contributions at the federal, state, and local level. So you've got, that, like a big business would, they're operating in that political realm with financial contributions to campaigns. They are lobbying Washington with tremendous firepower. Again, $1 billion a year behind them. And they are tax exempt. And then I think third, when they do go to court, they are able, because they have billions in assets to utilize, they hire giant law firms to go after pro-life pregnancy centers, which are small and operating off of donations, and they're not receiving millions of dollars a year from state and federal government grants.
This is, this is fundamentally what the real problem is here. It's a one-way, it is a one-way ticket. Harry, in reality.
Absolutely. So there are several questions that come to mind. Does Planned Parenthood, for instance, care about the prenatal health of women? Does the state of California care about protecting consumers and expanding the amount of information available to poor and low-income families? Does Planned Parenthood and NARAL support a woman's access to all medically necessary prenatal procedures? And I think the answer is no. The only medical procedure they believe in is abortion all the way down, And it's very likely that Planned Parenthood and NARAL cannot shake their origins in the eugenics movement. And it's sad to see the state of California support the eugenics policy of eugenics supported by Planned Parenthood and others.
Yeah, and that's, well, look, I mean, they're the ones passing, it's California where a lot of these laws start. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Cindy's calling California on line 6. You're on the air.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi there, Jay. I want to thank you for representing the pro-life pregnancy centers in California.
Yep.
I actually work in one, and we recently, well, late last year, we had a client that came in who was livid because Planned Parenthood would not provide an ultrasound for her so she could find out how far along she was so she could take the abortion pill. Well, she came to us, and of course, we want them to make informed choices, so we provided an ultrasound for her showing a 6-week, 4-day fetus. Then she was still left our office undecided, but we gave her all of the information about, parenting, about adoption, about abortion. She left undecided. She came back a few weeks later for a second ultrasound, which was beyond the time that she could do RU46, and she still left our office undecided.
Yep.
And then she came back when she was about 16 weeks and decided that she was going to continue her pregnancy. But what she told us when she first came in the door was that Planned Parenthood refused to provide an abortion for her since she wasn't already abortion-minded. And my thought is they're discriminating against women who choose to continue their pregnancy. They say they're pro-choice, but they only want one choice.
Well, they're not pro-choice. I mean, that whole pro-choice thing is they're pro-abortion. I mean, and they don't like it when you say that, but that's what they are. I mean, Dan, they get all these slick campaigns, but the reality is that's exactly where they are.
Well, I so appreciate Cindy's call, Jay, because the data shows conclusively and time again that when you provide real information to women, it leads to a choice for life. So it is time that we do what Cindy did and not allow them the moniker of pro-choice. Yep. They are pro-abortion. If they were pro-choice, Jay, they would be pro-information, and they are decidedly against providing information.
The last thing they want is information out there.
So last call of the day, Sherry in Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, Sherry, go ahead.
Hey, Jay, we met you at the Dillard House in Georgia, and I just wanted to take the
I love the Dillard House in Georgia. I shouldn't be giving advertising, but I do like the Dillard House. Well, it's good hearing from you.
I just want to tell you thank you for the work your organization does. We support it. I've been in the pro-life fight for over 20 years, prayers and work, and it's so encouraging to see others come along. And I just think we're going to win this thing this time. But
I'm optimistic. I appreciate you calling in, Sherry. Walter Weber was very optimistic about it, and my two sons here are talking about the Dillard House, as you mentioned it. You could see the food at the Dillard House is a great, great, great spot.
I haven't been in a very long time, but yeah.
It's very good.
I drove past it.
Yeah, I wonder when that was.
Sherry, when that was last year, right?
Yeah.
She's still there?
You've been there from 1980.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sherry, we were at the Dillard House. Was it last year?
It was this summer, yes.
Yeah, it was not that long ago. Yeah, we went out there. So Pam and I were there. So, well, it's good seeing for you, and thank you for your work on behalf of the pro-life community because it makes a big difference. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast. Again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference at aclj.org, aclj.org, and we're in a matching challenge campaign. Logan will let you know all the ways you can stay engaged with us throughout the week.
That's right. You can find everything you need at ACLJ.org, not just this show, which broadcasts there live, but also archived. We also have daily blogs and news that comes up each and every day on our website. So make sure you go to ACLJ.org multiple times throughout your day. Follow us on all social medias for updates. That's on Twitter at Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, Than Bennett, ACLJ on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And again, follow everything you need at ACLJ.org. And we're back each and every day right here on Jay Sekulow Live. And download the ACLJ app. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.